Yeah, we're getting right off to it, man. Episode one of Crossover Culture for us, man. I'm excited.
It's been a minute, man.
Man,
Got some stuff to get off our chest.
a lot, man. There's too much going on. And it's funny because we had the, I guess we'll call that like our beta episode where we were really like, it was a great episode. I wish we could have got it off, but it was like so many things that were also crazy happened after that.
Right. That was just we were just putting up shots, right? We were just putting up shots, doing some form shoot. I think we went to the lab. I think we got some now.
Oh yeah, no, I'm here. I'm here. And I'm well rested. I'm ready.
Load managing, we're back after
yeah.
All-Star break.
Nah, for real, man. Yeah, we covered All-Star break in that episode too, but yeah, we're not missing nothing with not talking about the All-Star game.
Nah, I'm thinking everybody forgot All-Star break happened already, I'm sure.
Man, for sure. I mean, but it did spark some cool conversations, especially a lot about just the face of the league conversations and the current state of the NBA. I mean, shoot, man, that was the topic you threw on there, man. So you talk to
Yeah,
me.
man. Yeah, so this could probably last us like four episodes. We really want to get on our soapbox, but yeah, man, I think coming off of All-Star break, I think KD was pretty vocal about it. I mean, you and I talked about it probably weeks ago when Draymond was criticizing the game, but really it's like all you hear is the negativity surrounding, the NBA. We talked about Ant-Man too, and some of his quotes about not wanting to be the face of the league and just what that comes with, the burden of it. And then LeBron actually came out, doubled down on it in support of Ant after the Lakers and Timberwolves game. And basically, I'm literally, it's like word for word. He said, "Why would you want to be the face of a league when everybody talk about the game just shits on the players every day?" And this sparked a lot of debate. And like, Stephen A got wind of it. He took the conversation as okay, LeBron's blaming the media. But then I think Channing Frye jumped in and was like, no, nah, man, this nostalgia is killing the NBA discourse. And you and I talk a lot about, analysis. Are you really watching the games? Or are people just pushing narratives and agendas? So really, what is the face of the league? Like, does anybody want that really? And where is NBA discourse going? And then secondly, or thirdly, do we have a nostalgia problem where guys are clinging on to players and now there's always a comparison game? So I don't know. It's just a lot of nasty, weird energy around our game today. So I think
Yeah.
it's really pushing a lot of agendas versus us appreciating basketball.
Yeah, no, I agree with a lot of that too. I think the most interesting take I've seen on this subject was Gilbert Arenas the other day on First Take. Just talking about the new era of media and how they bash the greats, like all throughout time prior to really, I guess prior to Kobe. Right, you had like Mike and Magic and Bird, and you had Dr. J, and you had all these great players, but you didn't really hear the criticism about their game, right? You never heard about how, yeah, Mike, he's a great mid-range shooter, but he really doesn't have a great three, right? Like they don't really talk about that. And it kind of is how the new kids today are talking about how we're so done with the 90s. You know what I mean? Like there was that whole trend going on about how we're done with the 90s. So I think it's just a lot of, Brian Windhorst also said something where, I think one thing people are going to learn as they listen to these podcasts is that I like to really look at both sides of the coin. And one thing Brian Windhorst said was that at the end of the day, people just got to take accountability for the role they played in the current state of the NBA. The players got to take accountability for the lack of effort and the lack of
Absolutely.
availability, right? The product stinks because you guys aren't on the floor, half the time. And then honestly, when you're on the floor, there are times where we clearly can watch you and see you not trying. Like we see Jimmy do one-legged threes. We see Joel Embiid come out there and just flop around the whole time. Like we clearly see when these teams aren't trying and these players aren't trying, especially the stars. And that's what really frustrates me on the players' part. On the media side, let's take accountability for starting these narratives about how the NBA is failing and they're tanking. And, pregame shows with Inside the NBA and all of those guys, just talking down on the product and not even knowing like the new talent that's out there. Like they don't even know the names of guys. Like they have whole segments about not knowing
Literally don't
what
know who they
teams
play
these
for.
players play for.
I
Like that's insane to me.
mean, I'm with you because literally, if your job, every title I believe is analyst, right? And if your job is an analyst, you're supposed to analyze the game, provide analysis. But really, what it's come to is, and we've been living through this for quite some time, is the hot take culture, right? Like even with Sham, sometimes you ain't got to be accurate; you just got to be first. Or you got to be the first one to jump on some kind of narrative. And I feel like where it goes wrong is it becomes personal a lot of times. Like, very rarely do you hear guys on TV breaking down film, walking through X's and O's. And maybe that's not what the listener wants to hear. And I know part of TV is entertainment, but at some point, like, if your job is to analyze the game, I think you got to take the personal element out of it. I mean, for example, not to bring this guy up right away, but I remember we had Kyrie versus Stephen A for like a year and a half.
That
Like
was
Kyrie was
nuts.
going on, I mean, Stephen A was going on TV just on a whole crusade at Kyrie Irving. He admitted it was personal. So I'm like, that's where it's like we're getting away from analyzing the game. But to your other point, like I think the players do gotta hop in there and go, what have I done wrong? Like, how can I, help this? Or just like, honestly, I think Stephen A has done a good job at this too. The invitation to go on First Take is always open. So like go up there, speak your truth, or say, this is what you're missing. Like, break down why did we run offense this way? How do we defend this way? Like, don't just always critique us and then make it personal. Just let us know, critique us and say, here's what I thought you could have did better. Not like, oh, we're scrubs, we're bums. The Kwame Brown rant from Stephen A is like legendary. Call him a bona fide scrub. I said, what analysis is that? Although it may have been true, no disrespect. Like, at least provide some analysis. So I just hope we get back to where it's balanced, right? Like, we can critique guys, but we could also get flowers.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, like there has to be that fine line between barbershop talk and actual analysis, right? Because there has to be times where, okay, I'm cool with the barbershop talk. That's where Stephen A, he blurs the lines a little bit of that, right? Like when you're calling
Facts.
someone a bum, that's conversations like you and I would just have like on the fly. But when we're actually trying to gain knowledge on something, like we don't have a show for that for the NBA. The NFL is great with that.
Nowhere.
MLB is great with that. MLS, great with that, right? But the NBA has nothing where you're actually learning about the breakdowns of the game, like on TV on a national scale. We have to go to podcasts. That's why the Old Man and the Three was so great. And even what LeBron and J.J. Redick were doing at one point in time was so great because we were finally learning about how these players think when they're out on the court and what they should be doing. And don't get me wrong, there are some broadcasters that try and they do their best and they actually do break down the game. Like as much as people hate Doris Burke, she to me, she's breaking down the game every time she's watching it. Every time she's broadcasting, she is breaking down the game. And I could give credit where credit's due. The people are annoyed by her voice or whatever, or maybe some people are honestly just sexist and just don't like listening to a woman.
Facts.
Whatever it is, but if you're actually listening to the game and watching the game, like you could act if you're a fan of basketball, just take the time to actually listen to Doris Burke and how she's celebrating the game. Like people hate how much she like champions players and like say like, oh, like I love this guy. I forgot one of the players. I think it's Jason Tatum.
JT.
Anytime Tatum plays, she's like, I love this guy,
The
right? And
glaze.
she's a fan. And it's glazing. Like it's this culture of glazing, bro. Like,
Facts.
what's wrong? Pause. And even that's a problem. But what's wrong with glazing, bro? Like what
No, you're
happened
right.
to
You're right.
giving people their flowers? Like, what happened to that?
Yeah.
Like that's the problem.
It's because it's Tatum. And that's a whole nother conversation. It's
Oh
because it's
God, yeah.
Tatum. We gonna get there one of these days. But
for sure.
yeah, I think the glaze is it's because it's Tatum. But you're right. I think DB does a good job. I think Richard Jefferson is the best at blurring the lines between being funny with critiquing guys, but
Yeah, he's
also
good.
like offering some real, okay, here's why.
Entertaining. Yeah.
Without getting disrespectful, where I feel like a lot of the media gets, they get comfortable with disrespecting guys.
Facts, facts. And I think also the accountability needs to not only go on the current players, but the former players,
Man,
right? It
man.
really, they're the real culprits in this. Like the media
Absolutely.
is going to be the media, but now we have the new media and they're bringing them into the fold of the media. So now there's a blurred line of like what's the new media, what's regular media, what's social media, right? Because all of those platforms broadcast their information and their clips on social media. So it allows everyone who's anyone to comment on it. But you have Kendrick Perkins who misremembers his own career. You have Paul Pierce who misremembers his own career and tries to compare his career to D-Wade. You got Rashad McCants, who is the absolute worst. This man should not have a microphone. I'm sorry. Get him out of here.
Yeah, it's time. It's time. But I get it. He get the numbers up though, the way he be talking, but is he not everybody needs a mic, bro. Not everybody needs a mic.
No. And some might say that for us, but at the end of the day, hey, we here. And that's going to be the same thing that they're going to say. Like, look, we're here and they have the credentials to say whatever they want to say. Kendrick Perkins is a champion. Cool. But at the end of the day, bro, you were not the reason why the Thunder were
Yeah, you want the leader.
successful.
You want the leader,
You
my
weren't the
guy.
leader. You were not the vocal. No. Russ and KD, I won't say KD because KD back then, he was probably really quiet because he's quiet now. So even back then, I bet he was even more quiet. But you're not going to tell me that Russell Westbrook wasn't talking, popping his shit in the locker room. You're not going to
Facts.
tell me that.
No,
Not the way that guy plays.
no doubt
But
about it.
yeah, so I mean, again, for me, it's just on both sides. It's effort and availability for the players, and just accountability on the media, especially like you said with the Kyrie point, like taking low hanging fruit like takes, right? Like
Yeah.
it's such low hanging fruit to be like, I don't know, this guy like Kawhi Leonard, right? He gets injured all the time. Like this guy really might be going through something. But then again, we kind of point at Stephen A because he is the biggest name, the biggest voice in sports media. And, you know, he's talking about he don't even care about basketball. He don't care about the game. Like those are the narratives
Yeah.
that
Come
he's
on,
pushing
man.
on a star player.
Exactly. And I mean, once if he is gonna, he does it too out of spite. Like the conversation might have nothing to do with Kawhi, but he's gonna find a way to get his point across. And then, like we talk about nostalgia too. Like every time there's anything to mention with LeBron and the Lakers recently, Michael Jordan's name comes up.
Oh,
Like
that's the
every
worst.
time, like the GOAT debate happens twice a week, every week. And I'm pretty sure, like I don't even have the GOAT debate anymore with my friends. I don't even talk about LeBron and MJ. I'm like, two separate eras of basketball, both greats. I'm not going to tear down one guy to build up the other. I'm like, the game we living in, can we just not appreciate guys? Like, why do we have to do this comparison? I'm like, MJ played 2 decades ago, 30 years ago. I'm like, evolution, players are just different today. Like, we do not have to harp on this every time. And I feel like ESPN and all these other shows know our bread and butter is if we bring up LeBron's name, bring up MJ. Like that's just a talking point we have to bring up somehow, even though it has nothing to do with the game today. Steph Curry scored 56 last week, I believe. Barely
Yeah.
talked about it. People barely talked about it. I'm
Oh
like, see,
man.
that's the problem. We're not covering the game. We're covering stories.
Man, you just brought up such a good point because another thing that you just kind of reminded me of, and I'm gonna be on my soapbox with this, is just
No, go
like,
ahead, cook real quick.
bro, the fact that these high scoring games aren't championed anymore is also what's killing the league.
Oh
Because
yeah.
these players are so skilled that like they're scoring 50 in their sleep. Shai Gilgeous had 51 last night, and
Easy money. 10
I
free throws.
didn't see nothing about it. Like I see little like, oh yeah, like he's doing all right. And it's still like thankfully ESPN is doing their job and the odd makers are actually showing him as the heavy favorites as the MVP this year. Well, that remains to be seen if he actually gets it because there's some sort of fascination with Jokic, which I understand,
Right,
but
right.
there's absolutely no way that Jokic should be winning MVP again.
Not this year.
Not this year, but also like if we're going with the previous history, voter fatigue is real. So there's no way he should win another one, but that's for another day. But I think that, we had dudes scoring 70, 60 points in these
Talk
last
about
couple
it.
seasons, and no one cares. Like it's so normalized now. And I don't even know if it's like normalized or if it's because the players that did it aren't in big market teams.
Because it was
Right?
Luka last year, no?
Luka
Luka,
had like a 60 piece. Dame
yeah,
had 70
Dame,
in
Mitch,
Portland.
I think D.
D.
Mitch.
Mitchell is in Cleveland. You see what I'm saying? Like these aren't D. Booker did it, even though he lost.
Still
Phoenix,
did
like
it.
not really a big market team either. Like it's never been done with the Lakers. It's never been like in recent memory. Hasn't been done with the Lakers. Hasn't been done with the like. If imagine if Luka now, if Luka had that 60
In
point triple
L.A.?
double in L.A., we're talking about that forever.
You're getting a statue tomorrow.
You see what I'm saying, bro? Like that is also part of why like ratings are down and people are bored of the NBA because we're not treating it like it's like a novelty and it's like something that's so rare anymore. Like even the media is not treating it that way. And that's where I think another problem lies. And if we want to get into the marketing of it, we can, because that was another thing that we talk about regularly.
Literally, bro, you can't. The marketing is so minimalistic. Like, there's no presentation. There's no hype for these games, man. Like, they just put it on, a commercial one time, tell you prime time Saturday, Warriors Sixers, nothing. Like, just the simple jerseys, right, for holidays, like Christmas jerseys
Oh,
back in the day. It's just like, even like, I think Latin Heritage Night or however they did, like there literally be new brand, like I remember El Heat was one of the jerseys they would have. Like team, it was just a simple stuff like that that fans appreciated, where now it was just like this less is more approach, and you wonder why, interest isn't there. It's like, well, you're not investing in your product. However, you have fans like us who truly love the NBA thinking like, man, where is the presentation? Where is the thought behind any of this? The marketing is just, I don't know when it started, but the marketing has been lacking for quite some time. So like, we even talk about, like, we used to get a good slate of games, let's say Tuesday ESPN, or sorry, Tuesday TNT, Wednesday ESPN, Tuesday or Thursday TNT, Friday ESPN. Now you might have some games where there's no nationally televised games. And you can't watch the Bucks in our local market for whatever reason, so it's just hard to even find games.
Yeah, especially that front half of the season. I think the latter part of the season, like after All-Star break, once football's gone, now we're back to that like regular scheduled programming where that we're
Facts.
used to, right? Like obviously there's two games on TNT tonight. There'll be some Wednesday ESPN games. Thursday's still happening. Friday is happening every once in a while. We're finally back to Saturday prime time, although last Saturday was Philly versus Golden State.
Come on, man.
Neither here nor there. But then Sunday are like quadruple headers, which I love. And that's kind of new for the NBA. Like, that's not something that they were doing in the past, like when we were growing up. So the fact that we have like four game slate like all day, I love
It's
that.
perfect.
Yeah, I love that. But I think that another problem with the marketing is that they're putting like it's as if the NBA don't even know like their own product. Like they don't even know who the good teams are. Like you remember last season when the Thunder were finally hooping and the NBA had to switch schedules around because
Just to put
they
them
were
on
like, "Oh, we
TV.
got to put them on TV." Like they changed like four of their games to put them on TNT and ESPN. Like it's not as if they don't even know the product that they have and the players that they need to push to the forefront. Like there's only so long that you can ride on Steph, LeBron, and KD's coattails. You know what I mean? Like those dudes are. I mean, you seen Ant the other night. He was cooking KD,
Oh
bro.
my God.
Like that. The torch is being taken,
Yeah,
and
not passed, taken.
the NBA is refusing to just let it go. Like, and then like to your other points of like marketing, like the logo and on the NBA Finals court, like the Larry O'Brien Trophy. Fans have been asking that for years.
Years.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just a matter. Like, you're not even listening to your fans. And neither if Adam Silver by chance listens to this podcast, Like, these are just two NBA fans
Like, listen,
that just
Brody.
went, man, we missed the nostalgia.
Come on, Adam. We got ideas, brother. Tap in.
man. Yeah, bro. But that's all I got on it. But I'll let you know, if you have any other thoughts,
Nah, I'm good too, because we literally could we could write a thesis on this topic alone.
We talk about this so much, bro.
Yeah.
Like, it's so frustrating, but yeah, hopefully the NBA will get it right. I will say, actually, my last point, that the conversation about face of the league, going back to that, I think it's such a necessary conversation. And I think Gilbert Arenas, like, hit, like, I haven't listened to Gilbert in a while, to
He's
be honest. I just
getting
can't,
there.
I can't, I can't, I just can't with his podcast. Like, I'm not a fan of it. However, I do like how Gilbert handled himself and composed himself on First Take the other day.
Yeah,
And
Stephen A.
I think Stephen A needed to hear that, because after that, although he was doing things like sarcastically, like on the telecast that night, and saying like, see, like I'm talking about him and I'm uplifting, you know what I mean? But I think the message was sent to not only just Stephen A, but to the rest of the media, like, we need to start championing these guys. Like, look at what they're doing. Like, yes, like they're super skilled now, but we're taking this for granted. And I've seen a shift since that conversation personally. Like, I have seen, like, and maybe it's my own antennas, like, starting to be, enlightened on it, but I've been seeing a lot more media personalities be more positive about the NBA as of, like, literally in the last, like, week. So hopefully it continues.
Man, I'm with you. Like, we just got to start appreciating the guys we have in this league. And like you said, we can't take it for granted what we're seeing. Like, I don't think the league has ever been this skilled with guys who can do this much, who are this versatile. And like, we're constantly looking for things they can't do. We should focus on what they can do, because we have guys in the league who can do stuff like that. I mean, Bol Bol, I mean, not to put his name out there compared to Wemby, but here's a guy that finally has a chance in Phoenix, who's like 7'3", lanky, has a shooter's touch, does floaters at that height. And like, let's champion that guy and saying, hey, he's getting there versus he's a bust. Like, let's change the narrative and appreciate the guys we have, because it's like, you never know if you're going to see this stuff again, as a fan.
Facts, facts. No, you hit it right on the head, bro. So, hopefully they get it right. But just kind of transitioning to another star. We were talking about Kevin Durant, prior to this, right? And, should he go back to the Warriors? Should he not? The NBA, or well, he came out and said that it just wasn't the right time when they were looking to trade him to the Warriors. But that Luka trade, obviously we haven't had an episode to really talk about it, but that shook up the league and got stars kind of on their heels and a little skeptical of these owners and GMs. So I mean, what do you think? What do you think KD should do?
I mean, here's a tough part, because, and this is why I want to know really what you think, because to me, I've grown such an appreciation for Kevin Durant. Like, I did not like the Golden State move years ago when it first happened. However, just like the ambassador for the game is a guy who loves hoops. And after watching like the Team USA documentary from this past summer, like, he
So
just
good.
loves the game. And then like, he literally was brought to tears about how much he loves the game. So here's a guy who loves the hoop. And I think him right next to LeBron more so, but here's a guy whose name has been dragged through the mud. And I think what's tough is like, KD is like, damned if he do, damned if he don't, with this whole Warriors thing. Like, and he mentioned it, like, it wasn't the right time. And then like, there's a lot what comes for trading for me, right? Like, you're gonna have to give up a lot of your team, a lot of your assets, and then now the narrative becomes, well, you had to run back to Steph Curry. Or, man, KD done tore down another franchise. Brooklyn, it didn't work. Phoenix, it didn't work. But then he's not going to get credit for trying to stick it out. So it's like, man, Kevin Durant is damned if he do, damned if he don't. And I get why he's like, man, making that drastic of a change in midseason. He's like, is it really the right time to do that for both parties? Like, who knows? I mean, the Warriors with the Jimmy trade, they look fantastic, like, not making the trades. The Suns are in real trouble. And the reports are KD and the Suns are probably gonna, move on from each other in the summer. But I don't know, man. I feel like KD was in a lose-lose here. But the situation he's in now with the Suns, They lack culture, I think. I think the locker room was fractured after they tried to trade him and he wasn't aware of it. So, but I want your take on that lens of like, what was Kevin Durant supposed to do? Because if he goes to the Warriors, it's like, oh, you ran back to Steph. But now it's like, well, here you are, another franchise that is like kind of in shambles after a Kevin Durant trade.
Yeah, no, I think for me, it's about what he should do now, right? I mean, in that moment, I agree with him because he's seen it firsthand happen with the Suns and the Nets now, where he goes to a team, the price to get him is high, and now he doesn't have the pieces around him and the three-headed monster that he creates to actually make a finals push. So, I think he's learning from his mistakes, but also understanding who he is and like his power. But it also begs the question for me, and I was talking to one of my friends about this earlier, and he brought up an interesting point that not many stars take less anymore. Like
Ooh, yeah.
Jalen Brunson, like I hope he creates a trend of taking less
That's a good one.
to go to the finals, right? Because that team would not be that team. The Knicks would not be the Knicks right now if Jalen didn't take less. And they actually have longevity and a chance to get more pieces for the future because of what he did and the sacrifice he made. And he understood, like, look, I love to play basketball, and this is what I just want to do, and I want to win, and I want to win here. So I'm going to take less. And everyone was like, whoa, you're crazy. And they try to kill him for it. But but New York, the state of New York, they're like, no, that's our guy. That's our guy. Like, because he really about that. And God willing, the organization rewards him for that. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to be remembered as a staple. And I say all that to say that, KD, why can't you just take less? Like, I understand that you want, like, you understand who you are and what comes with you go into a team, but if it's really just about hoops, like you say, like why don't you look at that mid-level exception? Like why don't you look at what you could potentially take as opposed to taking so much where you're earning $50 million in a season and just completely killing the organization and making them bleed to find and scrape to find something else to help you. So for me, in like mid-season, like I get it. Like, there's not much he can do with his own salary. It is what it is. It's set in stone, right? So I get why he didn't like say yes to being moved to Golden State as far as like the timing and everything and the pieces that they currently have. But his offseason, I think he should go to the Warriors. I think it makes the most sense to go to the Warriors as far as you're going to a team that has star players that are the core players are around your age. It's not like core players, like core young players, like if the Rockets had to give up like Jalen Green and all these guys, to get KD, or you go to the Knicks and you have to give up. Well, the Knicks would be interesting, but more so like OKC. Like people are talking about him going back to OKC. Like you got to give up Jalen Williams. That man just made
Yeah,
All-Star
I
this
want
year.
that
Like
and picks. Like,
you.
I'm not just taking
Right,
picks.
and now you're taking, yeah, it's like, it's not, I don't think it makes sense for those teams to do that because you're on the uptrend. Like, even if you lose this year,
You
right,
still
OKC
good.
primarily, you're still good. Figure it out in the draft. Make some other trades where you're not getting rid of you have all the leverage. So I think it makes sense for him to go to the Warriors. If not the Warriors, then I think the Knicks. Because the Knicks, they got OG and Mikal Bridges. So honestly, like you don't need both of them, if I'm being quite honest. And if you could get away with getting rid with just one of them, and then throwing in, I don't know, you throw in Mitchell Robinson, you throw in, you could there's some people you could throw in because salary wise it'll work. It's just a matter of the assets and the trade value and their skill is if the Suns will be willing to take that. But that's what I think. I think it goes Warriors and Knicks for what he should do going forward, or what he should be requesting, and what the Suns should be looking for.
What you got me thinking now, because I didn't really think about the Knicks, but if you think about the Knicks, I'm thinking, is there any way you do a three-team trade and you get the Nets involved, right? Because the Nets would probably be willing to take on an expiring contract. And I think Grayson Allen is probably going to be an expiring contract. And for me, it's like, is there any way that the Suns are like, can we somehow get some of our core back, right? Cam Johnson was a name that was on the trading block all year, but didn't really move. Is there a world where if you have a three-team Phoenix, New York, Brooklyn trade, where you somehow can get Cam and Mikal back in Phoenix, and you have KD to New York, and maybe some kind of Brooklyn takes on some salary that they can expire at the end of the year to create more space? But I'm just, in my mind now, I'm thinking of scenarios because now when you say the OKC situation doesn't work. At first, I was with it because of all the assets, and Phoenix doesn't own any of their picks for quite some time. However, I could see a world where Phoenix is like, I'm not giving you Kevin Durant for just picks. I seen the last guy who got traded for like a pick in Anthony Davis. Like, I want more than, just draft capital, right? I want Chet, or I'm taking Jalen Williams, or I need a combination of picks and like a win now guy. Similar to what Pat wanted when he was trying to move Jimmy. He's like, I want the whole package, right? I want picks and a player kind of deal.
And then, and where did that leave him? You know what I mean? I mean, that's a whole other
I was gonna say
conversation
that was
that
a low
we
blow. That was my
will
bad.
100%. No, I mean, it is what it is. We're here now, but we'll 100% get to some Miami Heat slander. Because even I got some slander as a Heat fan for our own
Ooh, oh
organization.
shoot,
So,
all
I
right.
mean, we'll get there eventually. I just don't have the bandwidth today to even talk about Pat Riley. I talked about him enough, but yeah, but overall, I just think that there's something to say about Jalen Brunson taking less. I think that, I'm not saying get your coins. Like, I'm not telling nobody what to,
Absolutely.
not to get your bread, but man, if you really try to win a chip,
Right. Sacrifices come with that.
sacrifices come with it. And dude, the mid-level exception is like a max salary in like 2010. You know what I mean? Today, like, it's not like you're making, cents on the dollar. Like, well, I mean, you probably will compared to what KD would be getting, but either way, it's like you're not pressed for the money, dude. So
Thanks.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, we could get into some of these. Or actually, prior to that, we actually have Bron and Luka on the docket too, and just like the
We
Lakers
do got to
itself.
go there.
Yeah, so not the smoothest transition, but we can rock with it. So how
But
are you feeling about their hot start so far?
I had a lot of conversations about this, just us going back and forth of if we buy the Lakers or not. And after seeing a larger sample size of it, because initially it was like right after the Nuggets game, which we watched together too, but they played the Wolves, the Clippers, the Mavs, and just what I'm seeing consistently is the defense, which I did not think I would see, especially after they lost AD. And the way they defended Jokic, the way they're defending the perimeter. I mean, LeBron at the age of 40 is sitting down in the chair, which I haven't seen in years. So the defense is traveling, which I think will bode well for the playoffs. And I think Luka is comfortable enough where now LeBron is handing him the keys. Like LeBron is cutting, getting easy buckets in transition, and Luka is really dictating the pace. So that's why the hot start to me is kind of it feels legit. I know that kind of we only what I mean, honestly, they went 10-2 in February and they climbed to the 2 seed. But I think that with large enough sample size and quality of competition they played, I feel like it's not too soon to say that the Lakers really might be on to something here. And I feel like once Luka is back in real shape, because he's been out since he was out since Christmas before he played with the calf strain. But I feel like once he's in real peak condition, which whatever that means for Luka, that we've still not seen the best Laker basketball yet. So I know you got some thoughts on if it's legit or not, but I'm buying it for right now.
Yeah, Luka just got put down the hookah, bro. That's what it sound like. Luka
Hookah dance is crazy.
Dodge. I ain't heard that one. Hey, that's kind of hard. If
You heard it
you can
here first,
smoke
folks.
hookah,
You
you
heard it
can
here.
smoke hookah, and then you can literally get a triple double, like a 30-point triple double, bro. Like, you
What's in that
show. Nah.
inhaler? What's in that inhaler?
Nah, facts. Nah, man. So here's the thing. Let me ask you a question before I get into it, right? is buying it that they're going, okay, people are saying buying it and they're saying it in different contexts. So buying it to you is what? Is it a championship? Is it getting to the finals? Is it getting to the conference finals? What is buying, what's being sold on the Lakers right now?
So buy-in to me is this is a team who was at seventh place in the conference one time, who's been a perennial play-in team the last three or four seasons at least. I think to me, they have a legitimate shot. For buy-in for me is getting to the conference finals and facing OKC. I think that's what buy-in is for me. Championship, I'm not really ready to go there. I think Lakers getting to the conference finals, JJ's first year. I think that's where I'm at with it. Like, that's what I buy from them.
Okay, so that helps me with what
Yeah,
I'm about to say.
contextualize.
Yes, I just had to get an understanding, bro. This is what I knew. It's my job. But I'm with you because I'm sold that they're a good team, you know? And my only problem and what I've been telling you is that people are taking them to the moon. People are taking them straight to the championship. No way in hell am I saying that these dudes are going to the championship. Not with that front court. No way. Against Jokic? Hell
Nah,
no.
in seven
Hell no.
games.
But all that being said, bro, I look at their defense too, right? Top in defensive efficiency. They're playing inspired ball. LeBron's sitting down in the chair. He's defending. Luka's even putting a hand up. I mean, the bare minimum, but he's putting a hand up. But I look at like Jackson Hayes, and in the same vein of me talking about the front court, Jackson Hayes is playing, not that he's playing even bad, he's actually playing really well. Like, I like that he's taking it personally, and like he knows the world is doubting him because as soon as AD left, everyone was like, oh, they need a big man, they're terrible, like, they don't have a front court. And I mean, they don't have a talented front court, but he's still there. They still have big men. I forgot the other guy's name, but he looks like a freaking created player. I forgot his
Oh,
name.
Trey Jemison or whatever.
Yeah, like he even came in and played great against the Mavs the other night. You know what I mean? Like they have bigs that are, you know, they're decent. Jackson Hayes is more than decent. He is a good basketball
Yeah, he
player.
nice. He nice.
And he's showing it in playing with Luka, and I like that he's taking it personally. I just worry, you know, and I think I'm aligned with you as far as what my trajectory for them is, and that's getting to the conference finals. I don't see them getting to the finals just yet, and that's why the big test for me this weekend is the Celtics Lakers matchup. I cannot wait to watch that game because, yes, the Nuggets are like, you know, even though everyone's talking about the Thunder being the number one seed, I mean, even though the Thunder are the number one seed, everyone's still talking about the Nuggets being the favorites, you know, in the West. But then, so that was a great test for the Lakers, and they showed out. But as we've seen time and time again in history, like when big, you know, exchanges for players like this happen, like it either goes two ways. It's either they start off super duper hot, and then they kind of fizzle out, or they start off super bad and then they progressively get better. There's really no like in between. Like the only examples I was really able to find were like 2018 Cavs, right? When they had that huge shift, when they swapped out their entire roster mid-season, and then they came in and played the Celtics and smacked them on Paul Pierce's retirement night
Retirement,
or whatever, you know. The Cavs came in blazing, and everyone's like, take him to the ship. LeBron's gonna do it. And granted, LeBron was LeBron, so he did it. But that being said, like, started off really hot, and everyone's like, oh, to the moon, right? Same with the Warriors this season. This season, Warriors started off the season 12-1. And everyone was like, oh, they about to do it. They about to do it. Buddy Hield is exactly what they needed after Klay and da 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 da. Buddy Hield gets hurt. Comes back, hasn't been the same since. Fizzled out, right? But then on the flip side of it, you got teams that start off really bad and end up being really good. And then I look at the 2010 Miami Heat. When they got LeBron, they started off 9-8.
I was gonna say, yeah, that's when LeBron
They
bucked
were nine
Spo.
and eight. Yeah,
LeBron bucked and walked
man. They
past
had a
him, yeah.
lot of issues. a lot of issues, and they started off 9-8, and they were playing horribly, and they had to figure it out the whole season. They even said themselves they can't believe they made it to the finals that year. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I look at it and I just see the trend of like, okay, like I get it, but like, is it another Warrior situation like this year where we're looking at them, they're coming out guns blazing, and then it kind of fizzles out? Like this defense, I don't have faith in it staying at top tier defensive efficiency throughout the rest of this the playoffs. You know, rest of the season and going into the playoffs. I just don't see it. Well, but it remains to be seen. I really am going to pay attention to the Celtics game though, because I think it's like that is kind of that's their real test to me. Like everything else, like I feel like it's been kind of hot streak and like hooping, and then also again like some injured teams that they've been hooping against, like you know. But the Celtics, oh, I'm gonna be watching the Celtics game. I can't wait for that.
It's funny because last time I think we watched a little bit of the Celtics Lakers game. I think we watched the last one, the
Yeah,
Lakers.
we were at
What was
at
it? A
Barnstown.
brewery
Yep,
or whatever,
that was
right?
right after the Bucks game. Yep.
And I think if I'm not mistaken, like the Lakers smacked the Celtics, right? But this was a whole different team, right? This was pre-Luka
That's a
trade.
great
AD
point.
was playing. And I think where my mind goes is, how many teams do you trust in the West? Like when it comes down to it, if you had to pick it apart, like do you have two or three teams above the Lakers you trust, or is it OKC, Lakers, and then everybody else is under that? And then for me, I think we haven't even seen JJ Redick really getting his coaching bag yet. I think a 7-game series where he can game plan for one team, the way he strategized for the Nuggets, I would be really curious to see what he does against another team. Because I feel like the way the standings might shake up is if, let's say, the Lakers end up in that 3 spot, right? They could end up matching up with the Warriors. They can end up matching with the Clippers. And it's just like, do you trust a lot of teams above the Lakers? And I know that defense isn't going to be consistent. Who knows? And JJ, as a first-year coach, his attention to detail, I wonder how far or how much of a purpose or impact that'll have on a series where you can go, okay, the Lakers might be able to do something. Now, do something again, to your point, do something could mean a lot of things, right? It could be finals, conference finals, championship. I need to, like you said, that Celtic game is going to tell me a lot because now you got shooters on shooters. You can't double the post like you did with Jokic. Who's going to sit down on Tatum? I'm not asking 40-year-old Bron to sit down on Tatum. And in the finals last year, they were picking Luke. They were like, where Luke at? Get the switch. Is that going to be the same case? So I got a lot of questions, but from what I've seen so far, it's like, okay, what can JJ scheme up? And then how many teams out West, at least for now, can I definitively say I'm taking that over the Lakers?
That's a great question, and actually a great point too of like the Lakers. And I forgot that they played the Lakers. I played the Celtics, and we watched that game at the bar because we were both like, "Oh shit! Like these dudes are hooping, right?" And they looked like a completely different team. And I forgot about that, so that's a good point. And even to your point about like who am I taking over them or who am I trusting? I'm trusting LeBron before any of these dudes, first and foremost. But if I'm betting on teams to make it to the finals, like I feel like that is kind of different. Like, yes, I trust Bron because he's proven, you know what I mean? But then if I'm a betting man, I'm taking the Thunder and the Nuggets over the Lakers right now.
I'm
But
not
that's
mad at
it.
that. I'm
It
not mad at
stops
that.
there. It stops there on the West. So honestly, like again, to your point, it's a very, very short list. Because I would have been like, okay, like maybe the Timberwolves could sneak them. And it could. You know, maybe Ant get hot, maybe Daniels get hot, you know, maybe they get hot too, you know, I don't know, but you know, the Kings are, you know, one, the Timberwolves have to get out of the play-in. I expect them to, so that's why I say that. But then they would end up look like playing the Thunder if they stay where they're at right now, because they're at the 9 seed, so they have to win out to just get to the 8, right? So right now the Kings are in that spot. The Kings are, I don't know how the hell the Kings are in the 8 seed, but you know, I guess the Suns are just that bad. But yeah, I mean, like you said, I'm really mad. We gotta link up for the Celtics
I was
game.
gonna say, yeah, we might have to. We gotta
This is
tap it
gonna be
in.
crazy.
Absolutely.
Man. I think this will be a good time to kind of get to our ISOs, man. I know we had Bobby, your boy Bobby, on the
Man,
list.
man. Let me, yeah, hold on. Let me clear it out real quick. Let me get the ISO signature. I'm going top of the key for this one.
I'm in the corner, bro.
Space out. I'm gonna find you in the corner. I'm gonna draw two.
It's
Yeah, man. Bobby news came out, I believe it was maybe last 2 weeks ago-ish. Suspended 25 games for a drug violation. And what's crazy is I guess the trainer or his personal assistant mixed up the medication he was taking for an elbow issue. But what's crazy is, and I'm not trying to be Shams or Woj, but the word is like the Bucks had kind of known about this potentially, and that's why the Kuzma deal happened when it did. And they found a similar play type for Bobby, knowing that this news might come down. And really, it's just tough because one, Bobby is a rotation guy for us. He's one of our backup bigs. A lot of the times, unfortunately, it's better having him out there than Brook. Just Brook is a little slower. It's a contract year for Bobby, if I didn't say that already. So he's trying to get his bread. And really, we're trying to figure out, are we going to bring this guy back at 12 million? I doubt it, however. But it's just tough because honestly, the way we've played without Bobby recently, we've been better defensively without Bobby. Because Bobby's not a guy who's looking to. He's looking to score, and we love we. That's what we need Bobby for. Right points off the bench. We're not asking Bobby to defend, be in help, be ready. So it's just tough because he's gonna miss 25 games, and he's gonna come back with 3 games left. And do you want to risk messing up whatever mojo we have trying to filter Bobby into that? And who's to say like Kuz might have just really taken over that role of like that third to fourth guy offensively we need. But yeah, man, hearing this news, Bucks fans were initially we were shocked. It was like, man, what do we do? We thought Giannis was at the calf strain because he missed the All-Star game. But honestly, we've been actually better, right? Defensively, we look better. I think the Jericho Sims who we traded for as another big, he's defensive minded, so that kind of gives a little bit of ease. But yeah, man, we'll see what happens with Bobby. It's tough because I do think this is his last year here. And he's gonna want command. He's gonna command more money, I believe, somewhere else than what we're willing to give him. But this is a tough way to go out for Bobby, missing basically all of March and then like a couple games in April.
That's crazy. Yeah, because Bobby's the man out here. You know,
Mayor
he's the
Portis,
man.
man.
Yeah, so I'll be really interested to see what the Bucks do with him. And I do like Kevin Porter Jr. for y'all too. I really like that addition as
Man,
well.
man.
Man, no, that's some good takes, man. I'm gonna take the rock at the key as well,
Let me dish that.
and get my ISO, man. Yes, sir. I'm gonna talk about Mark Williams real quick in this. In this crazy Laker trade. So in the midst of all that craziness with Luka, you know, and in the aftermath of that, the Lakers are like, oh shit, we got rid of our big man. We have Jackson Hayes. And what was the other guy's name? I don't
Oh,
even know. The
Trey
creative
Jamison.
player.
Yeah, my part.
Yeah.
He's my part.
Yeah, he's gonna go with my part. We got that's fucked up though. But look, man, until he gets some accessories, he's my part.
Yeah,
So,
VC is my part.
but anyways, you know, you got Mark Williams. He was traded to the Lakers at one point in time after the Luka trade, up against the deadline for Dalton Knecht and I believe Cam Reddish.
I think so, something like that.
Yeah, because I think Cam Reddish, that was a low key piece of the deal. Cam Reddish was involved in the trade too, but no one cares
No one
about him,
talked about
which
that.
is really wild because if you seen that clip of him the other day in practice where he was cooking them one on one,
Man.
like yeah. So, but anyways, Dalton Knecht and Cam, they get traded over to the Hornets, to where they're literally on a flight over there, and then I think as soon as they touch down, or maybe not too long after they touch down in Charlotte, they get a call like, oh yeah, the trade is off. And everyone's like, what? Like, yeah, the Lakers said that Mark Williams failed his physical exam for the Lakers, which was so strange, right? I mean, we had our speculations, as soon as it happened. I know for me, I was like, it had to be that he just failed his conditioning, right? Or, something like that. Like, it had to be like a conditioning like failure. And the Lakers came out and said something similar to that or whatever. That's not even the interesting part in all this, right? So like it all that happens, and then I got to wondering, why did the Lakers rescind this? And I think this is the part where, look, this is our first episode, so I'm not here for no clickbaits or nothing like that.
Yeah, I hear you.
My theory on it is because you got Luka and that trade happening, right? The reports are that Bron knew nothing about it. I could suspect
Respect.
that if that's true, I'm only going off of the reports, right?
So that's all we can go off of.
If that's true, I'm going to be a betting man that Bron wasn't too thrilled about not knowing about Anthony Davis getting traded without his consent or his knowledge. More importantly, his knowledge, right? Like he probably understands, like, hey, okay, like I'm aging out and you guys don't need to really like run things by me anymore. But I mean, the guy's still averaging 26, 8, and 7, right? I mean, you should probably run it by
Yeah,
that guy.
just a little
So
something.
again, that's neither here nor there. But I say that to also point out, what if they didn't tell LeBron about Connect leaving as well? What if they didn't say, like, hey, Connect, like you're gone. We're not telling LeBron about this either. But Connect's Bron's rook. Like, that's his
Yeah, that's
guy.
his
Like, they
guy.
drafted him because of Bron. That's his rook outside of Bronny, right? So I think they made that deal without consulting Bron, and Bron found out like the rest of us. And he's like, y'all better pull that. Y'all tripping. Because you fool me once, all right? Like, y'all pulled this shit with Luka, but now y'all doing this with Dalton, probably one of our better shooters. Like, no way in hell. And that's just my theory, my thinking. Like, I have no facts behind it, so I'm just gonna say that. I'm not gonna say that's true, but that's where my mind went when I sat down and really thought about it. I was like, I feel like they didn't consult LeBron again. And like, cause it's so, cause we haven't heard nothing since the Hornets sought to appeal that, right? Like,
Like he's
the
playing.
Hornets sought to
Mark,
appeal it.
yeah, Mark is
Nothing. And then he
playing.
played great. They
He's
played
fine.
poetically. He played against the Lakers
Killed the
right after
Lakers.
that, killed them, got a win on them, and all that.
Yeah.
So,
I'm buying it. You got me thinking, because now it's like, historically, we all know LeBron loves having shooters. You get rid of two shooters and you bring in a big man, LeBron's like, all right, enough's enough. Like, and clearly it's working for the Lakers. So I'm like, hey man, we need him.
the next playing great.
We
So
need him.
that's just my
Yeah. I see that conspiracy of like LeBron was like, all right, one time is enough.
he's like, y'all
One
bugging
time is enough. You gotta
right
come see me. You gotta come see me. Check in.
Yes, bro. Yeah.
Check
So
in.
that's what I think happened there. That's my ISO. That's my ISO.
No, I ain't gonna lie. I ain't gonna lie. That was efficient. That was efficient ISO work.
Hey, look, bro.
Bag work. Bag
There's some
work.
bag work, got the cone work out there, bro. Like I've been working, bro. But shoot, like we can also like real quick kind of get well soon, man. Wemby out for the season, bro. Like that was
Man.
tough news.
Yeah, man, young fella. I'm glad they caught whatever they did early and he can get healthy. I know it's tough. They just got Fox, so they could have made a push, but Wimby's the future, right? We're not trying to, it's more than one season with Wimby. So hey, get well soon, Wimby. League needs you 100%.
Man, the only one that plays hard in the All-Star game. We need you, bro. We
Yeah.
set the tone, bro. We definitely need one to be back
Take your
for sure.
time, big fella.
I chuckled to myself because you called him young fella, and then I remembered, yeah, I'm about to be 28 this year, or I think both of us are.
Yeah, nasty work.
Like,
That's nasty work.
we're officially like old heads, bro,
Yeah,
to a
I was
lot of
gonna
these dudes that
say
are coming in.
that's unk status damn near.
But you know, sticking with some injuries, man, Kyrie also out for the season. Someone put security, double the security outside of Nico Harris's
Yeah.
job,
Yeah,
outside of his house.
he need the Avengers level security, like
Bruh, that is the worst season of like recent memory. That has to be the worst season. This has to be the worst season for a team
Bro,
in all of sports.
no, like, how do you go from finals just, let's call it 9-ish months ago in June, you're playing for the Larry O'B, and now you might not even make the playoffs. You traded away your future, your free agent guard to be is down. The guy you traded for gets hurt in three quarters of play. All your centers are hurt. Like, they raising ticket prices next year on the fans. J. Kidd had no clue apparently what's going on. I was just like, how bad can it possibly be? Like, could it be any worse for the Mavs? I really, like, genuinely want to know, like, what else could go wrong at this point?
I'll tell you. AD
Oh.
saying that he's out for the
Which I could see. I could see AD like, yeah, I'm
season.
not coming back.
When we talked about it, like, and for the listener too, like, we text about it, but I think we're trying to actively save it for the pod because we talk about these things in our regular lives. So,
Yeah.
like, you know, Anthony Davis sitting out, I'm on, again, both sides of the fence here, but I'm way more on the side of smart move by AD,
I get it.
to me,
I
right?
get
It's
it.
just like the other side, what are you playing for, dude? You're in the what? Are they the 10th seed?
The 10
Yeah,
seed,
they're the
10
10th seed
seed
fighting to be the 8th, and
to
then
play
you
OKC.
go out to play OKC and get smacked by these young bulls with no Kyrie and no nobody. Like,
Exactly.
that's just asking for AD to get injured again. So,
Yeah.
and then you got Hardenstein, you got Chet. Like, they're full, they're back.
I was
They're
gonna
fully healthy.
say.
Like, he's not gonna be out there, you know, he's gonna be out there really having a physical game. So I get why, but on the other side of that, bro, we came from like Kobe, D-Wade, Bron, like all of these like legends, bro, that like they played through that stuff. And like, no matter who was on the floor, they were gonna play. Like, so I can understand why people are upset that AD's like not trying to play. But the way the league is right now, like, it's a smarter situation for him to just sit it out.
Yeah, I remember 2 years ago, the Mavs, like, when they were in the play-in situation, they found out, like, it would come down to a game or two. They sat Kyrie and Luka, and they got a draft pick, which turned out to be Lively. So I don't know what draft capital the Mavs have per se, or is it a smart decision to say, let's sit our guys down, get healthy, and then see what we do in the draft? Because, like you said, to this point, you get in a play-in, you're fighting at an 8 seed to go home the next week, essentially, because you're not beating OKC. Like, you don't have Kyrie. Klay is not gonna do much for you in terms of carrying offensive like load. And AD, to ask him to do that right now, I'm off injury, I'm like, that's just malpractice. So it's like, maybe you cut your losses. Maybe you cut your losses. And it would be weak, like we said, like, because in the spirit of competition, the guys we saw play, they're going out there no matter what. I remember D-Wade years ago when the Celtics were still in their prime with KG, Paul Pierce. D-Wade, like, he was out there fighting. And, like, he didn't have a squad around him by any means, but he was like, we're going to get a game at least. You're not sweeping me. I think they won. I mean, they lost the series in 5 games, but D-Wade said, I'm getting one.
They won that game. And that's a man, that was one of my favorite games, like, of all time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was on TV talking about, I ain't going out like this. And he said it before the game. I ain't going out like
Standing
that.
on
And came out
business
and
for
got like
sure.
45. He had like five threes. Like, he was going crazy. Like,
And this
I
was,
vividly remember that game.
years before LeBron too. This might have been like 2 or 3 seasons before LeBron. And D-Wade was like, nah, I can't let you give me 4-0. He said, we're winning one of these in Miami. I don't care.
Yeah,
So
I do think that the Mavericks, it'll be interesting to watch them in the offseason because they're going to have to be like extremely active this
Oh
off season, I feel.
yeah.
Like, I keep thinking, what are they gonna do with Klay Thompson? Like, the man forgot how to play basketball, y'all. He can't shoot like that anymore. He'll have his spurts because he is Klay Thompson. But as far as consistency goes, like, I just don't see how it makes sense to keep him. His salary sucks. His contract sucks. So it's like,
Seriously.
how do you move that?
Yeah, 'cause he was he a 3-year deal, meaning like this year, next year, and then an option after that? 'Cause
Beforehand, but I can look, but
yeah, 'cause to me, like Nico Harrison or he Nico Harris said the window was 3 to 4 years, right, with this team. So this year is gone, right? Next year, you looking at potentially next year might be gone too, because who's to say Kyrie even comes back next year right away? Like ACLs are 9 to 12 months minimum. And Kyrie at age 33, I think he'll be. I don't think you rush him back for what? So you looking at potentially 2 year window of your four max might be gone. So I mean, like you said, they got to be active in the offseason and figure out how do they retool.
yeah, they're keeping Klay. He's in the first year of a 3-year deal. They're keeping him.
We got to
You're
restructure
good luck trying to get
that
a $50 million guy.
deal. He's getting 50.
3 50 yeah, 50 over 3.
I see why Golden State let it go. I get it.
Bro.
No disrespect.
They had to,
No
man.
dirt,
Like
no dirt on your name, Mr. Clay, but I get it. I get it.
Yeah, man. So get well soon, Kyrie, AD. I look forward. I don't know where Kyrie, I think he should stick with the Dallas Mavericks.
I like him there.
I like him there. I think he's going to get paid there, even though this all happened. I know that's a big question mark if you pay Kyrie. That is the most skilled guard of all time. Pay that man. Pay that man. So shoot. We got some other segments here that I wanted to touch on. So I kind of want to introduce a new one here. So Trash or Treasure, this is the new one I spoke on. And this is, so this, for us, it's in the name, crossover culture. So we don't even want to just talk about sports. Like, we want to talk about kind of the things that we're just interested in too. So, we've got some movies where two big Marvel fans as well. So I'm assuming a lot of the movie will be Marvel talk when we get in this bag. But we're gonna go trash or treasure. So V, I'm gonna give you the first one, and you can tell me if you think that this movie is going to be trash, or if we're gonna get some treasure out of it, if it's gonna be a good one. So the first one I'm gonna throw at you is the Fantastic Four. We've seen the trailer come out not too long ago. I know we talked about it, so where are you headed? Is it gonna be trash, or are we gonna get a good one out of
Absolute cinema. This is gonna be this is gonna be treasure, man. I'm hoping. I think the MCU is about to get a jolt of life from this one. Treasure, 100%.
Facts. I'm with you, treasure. I already knew where you was going, but like, treasure, bro. That's gonna
Treasure,
be a good
bro.
one. The rest of them, I don't know where you're at, so I'm gonna
Okay,
see.
okay, 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 okay.
We might have talked about it, but I can't remember. So the Superman trailer, even though I don't know if you noticed, they never actually titled this movie. Like, there's no title.
Yeah, is it Legacy or I don't even know what it's called, to be
I
honest
don't know
with
what
you.
it's called, but either way, like the title's not in the trailer itself. But what do you think about the Superman movie, trash or treasure?
Not the glaze again. It might cook. It might cook. I feel like I like the trailer. I think DC needs a reboot anyway. I like what I've seen so far. They got crypto in it. I'm going treasure on this one. I'm going treasure.
Yeah, I was sold by the super dog, man. I was sold. So I'm going treasure on that as well. All right, this one's a good one. This one I know for a fact I don't know where you're gonna go. So trash or treasure, Shrek 5. We saw the teaser. We
Hey man, what's that
saw
smell?
the
What's that smell? Take that trash out of here. What's that smell? Listen, man. I'm tired of what they're
trash.
doing to our characters and like the animated characters. What happened to Shrek, man? They put that man on that Ozempic plan. No offense, anybody. Shrek don't even look right. Donkey don't look right. Like, come on, man. Like they've been through it. Trash. Trash, man. They disrespecting us. Should have left them
Hey,
where they were.
they disrespected us. It's crazy.
They disrespected
Hey,
us.
I'm going treasure. I know I'm
Whew.
standing on it. I'm standing on it. You want to know why?
Wow.
Here's
Yeah,
my
please, please.
so you know me. I'm a big Sonic fan, man. And
They had to fix him.
I don't know if you remember the first Sonic movie, but they had to fix that boy. They
Oh,
had to fix him. They bullied him. That's when internet bullying, cyberbullying worked. Cyberbullying worked, and Sonic was fixed. And now we're three movies in, and it's absolute cinema. Especially that last one, fire. Shadow was fire. Anyways, so that's why I think they're gonna fix it. I think they're gonna listen to the fans. They understand how much Shrek means to our generation, especially. So I'm going treasure. I think they're gonna fix it, and I think they're gonna cook. And they're making jokes about it. Internet bullying is happening as we speak. I don't know if you see it on TikTok, but they're literally talking about how they and people are talking about how they anticipate the script to go. And they're saying, like, oh, we already know, oh, what Zendaya is gonna be, because Zendaya is in the movie. So it's like, oh, Zendaya is gonna be the misfit child that needs to be needs to grow more, and Shrek is trying to hold her close to chest, and da 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 da. And I was like, dang, like they're really trying to bully the script.
Oh,
Like,
man.
and I think they're gonna cook, bro. I really think that the cyberbullying is going to work, and it's gonna be a treasure.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
It's
Because what I
not
saw the
starting off
other
great.
day, I said, that ain't Shrek. That's Sharif. That is not Shrek, man. I'm all right.
Donkey on Ozempic for real, though.
Man,
Doc,
donkey
they
on them
said he looked like
pills,
Kai
boy.
Cenat, bro.
Oh, that's bogus. That's bogus. Hey,
Standing there
chat,
side by
fix my
side, they said he
mans.
looked like Kai.
That's disrespectful.
Oh, dude, man.
I hope it's treasure. I hope it's treasure.
Oh, man, I enjoyed that segment a lot more than I thought I would. That was good. Shoot, last segment here, man. I know we have the elimination chamber, but we got 5 minutes left on this call. But shoot, talk to me about the elimination chamber and John Cena turning heel, bro, because we're also wrestling fans.
I Saturday I
Children
did caught
crying.
man,
Children were crying, bro.
I saw memes like, the dude when Undertaker lost at WrestleMania, that one dude whose face was just like in shock. Honestly, I was a fan of it because I didn't see it coming. Whenever the WWE can trick me and I don't know what's about to happen, that's when I become a fan of it. I think John Cena as an actor too, the way he sold the whole turn was perfect. Like he was overjoyed about Cody turning down The Rock and down to nowhere. That look, the stoicism in
Cold
his face was
thing.
cold. Like that's why he's just a better actor than The Rock. No offense, but like though, because the way he sold it. But man, I would be lying if I said my heart as a kid broke a little bit because I was like hustle, loyalty, respect, what like all the stuff he used to preach about. Now they said instead of make a wish, they calling John Cena break a wish. They calling John Cena Mr. Break a Wish. I loved it though, honestly, for the storyline, for the Mania buildup. I think it's perfect, but I just after 20 plus years of John Cena being that guy, just like our hero, it's like, man, it was the quote from Dark Knight, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. That's the first thing I thought of.
Man, yeah, no, the world is talking WWE, man, and I'm loving it. I love it. I'm here for it,
They're
bro. I
cooking.
seen children crying. I seen all sorts of stuff, man. I was just like, bro, this is what I'm talking about. Like, it feels like
They're
old
back.
WWE. Yeah, and like the road to WrestleMania, like 2 years in a row now, man. They've been going crazy. Like Triple H and The Rock, that TKO group, like say what you want. If you hate on The Rock, whatever. Like they cooking, bro.
They are, man.
And I mean the script, like you can say what you want about the filler episodes like throughout the year, but when it comes to WrestleMania, they do the damn thing, man. So I'm looking forward to it, man. And I was and like you said, I was a little part of me was a little hurt about John doing it, but I'm also hyped because I think we're gonna get the Doctor of Thuganomics back, bro. And
Already
I
was
bro,
waiting. I was at the gym this
I
morning.
need
What is
it.
life?
I need it, bro. I need some bars. I need some Cordy rap bars. I need the chain. I need the
The
spinner.
chain, the
I need them to
spinner.
just pay homage to everything that he's done, bro. Like,
Ooh, I
but
can't
I
wait.
could see him going like fully like to his first like prototype model where he was just wearing like the colored trunks and he's just
Ruthless
like this.
Aggression, the Ruthless
Yeah,
Aggression
like I could
Cena.
see him doing that too. So I'm here, man. I'm locked
Yeah.
in. Yeah, I'm excited for it, bro. So,
Man, we might have to tap in for WrestleMania. We might have to tap in.
man, for sure, bro, for sure, man. I know we had some other things to get to, but you know, it looks like we're running low on time, brother. But man, great first episode, bro. This was fun, man.
Man, we gotta keep it. We gotta keep it going. These segments, man, we're gonna ask our listeners too at some point. We're gonna get
Yeah,
them
man.
in. We're gonna get them in, and
We're
then
gonna get them
see
out
how
the
they
gate. We're
feel
gonna get
about
them out the
Shrek.
gate, bro.
Yeah, we're gonna
It's
solicit. We're gonna solicit,
a
man.
treasure, bro. I'm telling you, cyberbullying.
I'm gonna have to create a poll. Is it
Yeah.
treasure?
Bad, Brody.
So, man.